Welcome to West Coast University Los Angeles Operations Pass NCLEX. I am your host, Debbie Reed, the Manager of Persistence and Outcomes. We are in week four of summer 2021 term. If you are a 493 student, you will be completing Capstone this week and taking the Comprehensive B exam. Do not study for this test. The results will help you identify areas of weakness to review. Remember to turn in your pre-work and post-work on time and complete the Dr. Khan questions every week. If you need assistance, please reach out early to your faculty or to me. Delayed requests for assistance may result in late work completion and a need to redo this term. If you are a 480 student, you'll be taking the Fundamentals Capstone Assessment this week. Do not forget to complete the pre- and post-work. You can do this almost halfway done with this term. Please make sure you are preparing each week for class and reaching out to your professor for one-on-one tutoring and the nursing academic specialist, Hermy Barbieto, if you are not achieving passing grades. For the rest of West Coast University who may be listening in, reach out early for help. Your instructor's conducting group and one-on-one tutoring, and you have the nursing academic specialist workshops and one-on-one sessions available. Take advantage of everything that we have to offer you. It's all set up for your success. This week's podcast is discussing seizures with Dean Sasha Montes de Oca.
Seizures and epilepsy, and we want to look at the assessment that we're going to do for a patient. We want to know a couple of different things, right? First off, what's causing the seizure? Where is it coming from? Okay. Is this a seizure that's being caused because this patient has a genetic predisposition to the seizure? Is it being caused because we're febrile? Did they hit their head and perhaps we have a brain bleed that's causing this seizure? Do we have heart disease? Okay. Is there hypoxia? Are we having a withdrawal? What are our lab values? Is there fluid and electrolyte imbalance? Because we know that an imbalance can also cause a patient to seize. So you want to understand the whys of the seizures, the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Okay. Understand that when a patient has epilepsy or some other sort of predisposition to a seizure, there's going to be a couple of triggers for this said seizure. Okay, we have increased physical activity, excessive stress, tiredness, alcohol, too much caffeine. There are a couple of different things that can really set this off. And those of you who can remember when we were allowed to go into the movies, if it was going to be a movie that had a lot of flashing lights, a lot of quick movements, a lot of light to dark changes, there is a warning that talks about, not being there if you are epileptic. If you have epilepsy, flashing lights and strobes and such can also set off your seizures. Okay, when we're looking at expected findings for people that have seizures, we're wanting to look at what's happening in this seizure. Okay, the typical seizure that you're going to see in a patient is a tonic-clonic seizure, right? That's what they're going to portray in the movies and on TV. Where there's a wide range of movement, you have jerky episodes. As the nurse, you want to roll the patient on their side, their left side, okay? Sometimes a patient can vomit when they're seizing, and we want to make sure that we're protecting the patient from aspirating that vomit, and then they're going to develop a pneumonia, okay? So we want to keep them safe from that. Additionally, we want to time the seizure, right? Let's say this particular patient who we know has epilepsy and their seizures typically last 20 seconds, right? If they have a seizure that lasts 90 seconds, that's very abnormal for them. Even though they do have a seizure history, that length of seizure is very abnormal. And that's when we start to want to look at some other things. What are contributing factors to this seizure? Did this patient skip medications? Things like that. But we want to time because we want to be able to trend out these changes in patients' healthcare, okay? Don't ever stick anything in a patient's mouth. When you have a patient that does seize on you in the hospital, after the seizure, when they're recovering and they are able to swallow, look in their mouth. See if there's any oral trauma. They can bite their tongue. They can bite their cheek. If you didn't catch the seizure at the beginning and they fell, then we can have some dental trauma as well. If there's a tonic seizure, then we're going to have the patients all of a sudden go limp, okay? Commonly, you're also going to hear this called an absence seizure. Maybe they just kind of blankly stare, things like that, Okay. You also have clonic seizures. Those can last several minutes. And that's going to be a contraction of the muscles, right? Myoclonic seizures are, they can be one-sided. It could be just an arm. Sometimes you'll have a patient and they have a myoclonic seizure and their arm goes up and their arm is just going to stay that way. Okay. Atonic or akinetic seizures are seizures where muscle tone can be lost. You're going to see that the patient has a tendency to be confused after. After you have a seizure, you have what's called a post-ictal phase. Okay. Post-ictal phases can last anywhere from minutes up into an hour or a couple of hours. During that stage, the patient is sleepy. They might be a little bit disoriented. We want to be able to compare this particular post-ictal phase with what their family says is a normal post-ictal phase, okay? If a patient is usually post-ictal for 10, 15, 20 minutes, but they're prolonged and they've been post-ictal for an hour or two, you want to look at something else having caused that seizure. Maybe there was a trauma and the patient fell and hit their head. Maybe we need to get a CT scan done on the brain to make sure that there's no bleeding going on in there, okay? We have complex partial seizures, simple partial seizures, and then we have unclassified or idiopathic seizures. Idiopathic seizures, they really don't fit into anything. There's really no cause. We don't understand. It just happens, all right? Some testing that is done on people that have seizures, they do EEG testing. Okay, they want to check out brainwaves, see what's happening, where's this misfiring coming from. We can do an MRI, a CT scan, a PET scan. We can check CSF fluid, okay? Does this patient maybe have meningitis and the meningitis caused the fever and the fever caused the seizure? Okay, those of you that are old enough to know about the lady who swallowed the spider, you'll have a little insider laugh on that. All right, those of you that don't know about the lady that swallowed the spider, you can go ahead and shoot me an email and I'll fill you in. So while we're taking care of a patient who is seizing, we want to make sure that we protect their privacy. All right, we see all the videos right now of people that are getting in fight with cops, right? Everybody wants to walk up. They want to hold up the camera. They want to see what's going on. If you're in, let's say, a hospital waiting room with this patient that's seizing, you know, and there's other people around, they're bored, people are nosy, they're going to want to look. Just try and, you know, remind people, you know, let's have some privacy, back up, try and do the best you can to protect your patient, okay? Do not restrain your patient again, don't put anything in their mouth, and then document the time the seizure started, how long it lasted, and anything else that you noted during the seizure, okay? Once the seizure is complete, we want to make sure that we keep the patient in a side lying position. You want to make sure that we're preventing aspiration, okay? Have a yanker available that's connected to suction in case the patient does vomit in the post-ictal phase. We can help to clear those secretions and the vomit out from their airway. You want to perform neurological checks, okay? Keep checking on your patient. Do not leave that patient, but allow the client to rest. And understand that post-ictal phase is not necessarily just sleepy. The patient is confused, and confusion can cause a lot of people to be agitated, right? You don't remember what happened. You don't know that you seized. You don't remember that you seized during this period. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people standing around you, holding you on your side. All of this noise and chaos is happening when you're trying to understand what's going on. It might drive some people to become aggressive. And then try, and when the patient is able to talk, start talking it out with the patient. What happened? What medications did they miss? Things like that. When it comes to educating patients that have seizures, the number one thing that we want to teach them about is to always take their medication. Take the medication at the same time of day, okay? Patients that don't take their medications are going to have repeated seizures. We want to make sure that patients are not taking medications that are contraindicated. We want to remind patients that when you're using Dilantin, okay, they must take oral contraceptives, but talk to their doctor first, okay? Dilantin is going to counteract the oral contraceptive. They might not be ready for a baby. They're trying to prevent having one. They need to have other methods involved as well. When we're using interprofessional care, okay, if the patient makes statements that they're afraid that they can't afford their medication, call in the social worker. There are social programs that are out there to help these people be able to afford their medications. When we're looking at therapeutic procedures, there's vagal nerve stimulation, and there are other surgical procedures so that we can get this patient off of medications. Okay. When we're looking at complications of seizures, these are some things that you need to be aware of. Status epilepticus. These are repeated seizures within a 30-minute time frame, and the seizures last for more than 5 minutes. Okay. The problem with status epilepticus is that we're having decreased levels of oxygen in the blood. All right, so now we're running into an ABC issue, right? We want to make sure that we maintain the airway, that the patient has oxygen, we have IVs established, that we have EKG monitoring, and that we're monitoring their pulse ox. And when the seizures are completed and it's safe to do so, that we go ahead and we start monitoring ABG results.
A Chinese proverb says, learning is a treasure that will follow its owner everywhere. I want to thank you for tuning in to West Coast University Los Angeles Operations Pass NCLEX. We will be back again next week with a new learning experience.